A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel wants to talk about the two titans of tough clothing and why picking one feels like picking a side in a fight between your skin and your pants. He's been thinking about Carhartt and Dickies specifically. Both have cult followings, both make serious workwear, and he likes both. But he's noticed something. Carhartt's Dutt fabric is the gold standard for sheer durability. Dickies tends to be a bit more comfortable and a bit cheaper, and that gap between something that'll survive a war and something you can actually move in is what he's poking at. His real question is about hot climates. When you're working in heat, what fabrics get you into a sweet spot where you're still significantly tougher than Old Navy or Gap, but you're not wearing a tent? And if you were shopping for that, what specific lines would you be looking at?
So we dug into the weave counts, the fiber blends, and the ventilation hacks that actually work. Let's start with why this trade-off exists in the first place, because it's not just thick equals tough and thin equals cool. There's actual physics here.
The physics of why your pants hate you.
The core tension is this. Durability is largely a function of two things, fabric density and fiber strength. You want a tight weave, high thread count per inch, and fibers that resist abrasion and tearing. Comfort is about breathability, moisture management, and freedom of movement. Those want a lighter, looser weave. So right out of the gate, the two goals are pulling in opposite directions. It's not that manufacturers are lazy. It's that the thing that makes fabric resist a tear is often the exact same thing that makes it trap heat.
And Carhartt's duck canvas is the textbook example of leaning all the way to one side.
12-ounce, 100% cotton duck canvas. That's their classic work pant fabric, and it's basically the benchmark for abrasion resistance in workwear. Duck is a plain weave, over under, very tight, very high thread count per inch. When you drag that across concrete or catch it on a nail, the fibers are so densely packed that the force distributes across a huge number of threads before any one of them breaks. That's why it's nearly indestructible. But that same density means almost no air moves through it. It's a heat trap. And because it's 100% cotton with no give, it's stiff. New Carhartt duck pants practically stand up on their own.
I've seen videos of people breaking in Carhartt jackets by driving over them with a truck.
That's not a joke. People literally do that. The break-in period on 12-ounce duck is measured in weeks of hard wear. And in a hot climate, you're fighting the fabric the whole time. Now, Dickies takes a different approach with their 874 work pant. 65% polyester, 35% cotton twill, weighing about 8.5 ounces per square yard. Twill is a different weave. It's got that diagonal rib you can see if you look close. That diagonal structure makes the fabric more flexible, it drapes better, and it breathes slightly more than a plain weave of the same weight. The polyester adds wicking and quick-dry properties, and it brings the cost down. But you're trading away some of that raw abrasion resistance. The fabric isn't as dense, so it won't take the same beating over years.
So the trade-off is real. But the part I think Daniel's getting at, and he's right to ask, is whether that's the end of the story. Heavy duck versus lighter twill. Pick your suffering.
And it's not. To understand the trade-off, we need to get into the weeds of how these fabrics are actually constructed. Because fabric weight is only one variable, and it's the one everyone fixates on, but weave structure and fiber type matter more.
This is where you tell me a 7-ounce fabric can beat a 10-ounce fabric.
It can, and here's why. Take ripstop. Ripstop uses a grid reinforcement, typically nylon threads woven in at 5 to 8 millimeter intervals, creating a checkerboard pattern you can see in the fabric. When a tear starts, it hits one of those nylon grid lines and stops. The nylon threads are much stronger than the base fabric, so they act like a firebreak. That means you can use a lighter base fabric, say 7 or 8 ounces, and still get tear strength that rivals or exceeds a 10-ounce plain weave cotton. The military figured this out decades ago. The standard hot weather combat uniform uses a ripstop nylon cotton blend precisely because it gives you tear resistance without the weight and heat of duck.
So the grid is doing the work that extra ounces would do.
And because the base fabric is lighter and the weave isn't as dense as duck, air moves through it. You get breathability plus tear resistance. You do lose some abrasion resistance. Dragging a ripstop fabric across rough concrete will wear through the base fabric faster than duck, even if the grid lines hold. But for most work, tear strength is the thing that saves your pants from becoming shorts. A snag on rebar or a sharp corner is a tear risk, not an abrasion risk.
And the fiber blends matter too, right? Cotton versus poly versus nylon. They're not just cost decisions.
They're performance decisions. Cotton is comfortable, it absorbs moisture, it feels good against skin. But it holds water, dries slowly, and when it's woven tightly enough to be durable, it stops breathing. Polyester wicks moisture, dries fast, and adds tensile strength, but it can feel clammy and it doesn't breathe as well as loose weave cotton. Nylon is the strongest of the three for its weight, incredible tensile strength, and it's what makes ripstop grids work. The sweet spot in a lot of modern workwear is a tri-blend or a cotton-nylon blend. You get cotton for comfort against the skin, nylon for tear strength, and sometimes a touch of spandex or elastane for mechanical stretch, so you're not fighting your pants when you bend down.
Carhartt themselves have been playing with this. They've got their Flex Duck line now.
Right. The Flex Duck still uses the heavy cotton duck. It's still 12 ounces, but they've added a small percentage of spandex, usually around 1 or 2%, woven into the fabric. That gives you some mechanical stretch, so the pants move with you instead of against you. It doesn't solve the heat problem. You're still wearing 12 ounces of cotton duck, but it solves the mobility problem. And for people who need maximum abrasion resistance but also need to crouch and climb, that's a real improvement.
But for hot climates, 12 ounces is still 12 ounces.
It's a furnace. And that's where Dickies has been more interesting with their TempIQ line. TempIQ uses phase change materials, basically microcapsules embedded in the fabric that absorb and release heat as they change from solid to liquid and back. When your body heats up, the material absorbs that heat energy to melt the capsules, which cools you down. When you cool off, the capsules re-solidify and release the heat. It's the same tech that's in high-end outdoor gear, and Dickies brought it into workwear at a reasonable price point. The base fabric is still their polycotton twill, so you're not getting duck-level abrasion resistance, but you're getting active cooling on top of a fabric that's already more breathable than duck.
Phase change materials in work pants. The future is now, and it's slightly less sweaty.
And it works. It's not a gimmick. The effect is measurable. You get a few degrees of cooling at the skin surface for a couple of hours, which is when you need it most. It won't last all day, but if you're working outside from dawn to noon, it'll make a difference.
So if duck is too hot and basic twill isn't tough enough, what actually works? Let's look at the specific fabrics and lines that hit the sweet spot.
I'd put them in three categories. First, ripstop cotton nylon blends. These are your best all-around option for hot climate durability. Something like a 65% cotton, 35% nylon ripstop with that grid reinforcement, you're getting breathability from the cotton base, tear strength from the nylon grid, and the whole thing weighs around 7 to 8.5 ounces. Carhartt's Force Series uses exactly this approach. It's a ripstop fabric with their fast dry technology, which is a wicking treatment plus stain release. The Force pants are designed specifically for hot weather. They're lighter than duck, they breathe, and the ripstop grid gives them tear resistance that's way beyond what the fabric weight would suggest.
And there's still Carhartt, so the stitching and pocket reinforcement is there.
Double needle stitching on the main seams, reinforced pockets, the whole thing. You're not getting the fashion label treatment where the seams blow out after 6 months. And that's the second thing Daniel was asking about. Can you get something significantly more durable than Old Navy or Gap? The answer is yes, and the gap is enormous. A typical pair of Old Navy chinos uses a 6 to 7 ounce cotton twill with single needle stitching. The fabric is lighter, the weave is looser, and the seams are the first thing to fail. In a Martindale abrasion test, that's the standard machine that rubs fabric in a circular pattern until it wears through, a 6.5 ounce fashion chino might hit 15 to 20,000 cycles before failure. An 8.5 ounce Dickies, 874 with that polycotton twill and double needle stitching will go 40 to 60,000 cycles. That's 3 to 4 times the lifespan.
So, the $40 Dickies outlast the $30 Old Navy by a factor of 3 or 4. That's not even a contest.
And the Carhartt duck will go even further in abrasion. 80,000 cycles or more. But again, you're paying for that in comfort. The point is, even the comfortable. Workwear options are dramatically more durable than fashion brands. You don't have to go all the way to duck to get a huge upgrade.
You mentioned 3 categories. Ribstop blends was the first.
Second is lighter weight canvas with an open weave. This is where Duluth Trading's Firehose pants come in. Firehose is an 88% cotton, 11% nylon, 1% spandex blend weighing around 10 ounces. So it's lighter than Carhartt duck, but heavier than Dickies twill. The nylon adds abrasion resistance and tear strength, and the spandex gives it some stretch. But the key thing is the weave. It's not as dense as duck, so it breathes better, even at 10 ounces. Duluth markets these as their tough but comfortable option, and they've got a real following among tradespeople who work in mixed indoor-outdoor conditions. It's not a hot climate specialist, but for moderate heat, it's a solid middle ground.
And the third category?
Performance twills and double weaves with mechanical stretch. This is where you're getting into fabrics that are designed to move. The Dickies Flex line, their 10xQ stuff, and also brands like 511 Tactical. Their strike pants use a 65-35 polycotton ripstop with a gusseted crotch. That's an extra panel of fabric in the crotch seam that eliminates the 4-point stress convergence where most pants blow out. The fabric itself is mid-weight, around 7.5 ounces, but the ripstop grid and the gusset construction mean the pants can take serious abuse while still being light enough for hot weather. Law enforcement and EMTs wear these in summer, and those are people who are running, kneeling, and scraping against asphalt.
Gusseted crotch. That's a phrase that's about to be in my search history.
It's one of those things where once you know about it, you can't unknow it, and you start checking every pair of pants you own. Most pants fail at the crotch because 4 seams meet at 1 point, and every time you move, that point takes all the stress. A gusset spreads the load across a diamond-shaped panel. It's a simple piece of engineering that adds maybe $2 to the manufacturing cost, and fashion brands almost never do it because it's invisible and they'd rather spend that money on branding.
We're talking about ripstop blends, lighter canvas like fire hose, and performance twills with actual engineering in the seams. What about hemp? Patagonia's been doing some interesting stuff there.
Patagonia's Iron Forge line uses a 55% hemp, 45% organic cotton canvas. Hemp is fascinating for workwear because it's about 3 times more breathable than cotton and has comparable tensile strength. The fibers are longer and more porous, so air moves through them more easily. The downside is that hemp canvas is rougher. It takes longer to break in and soften up than cotton duck. But once it does, you've got something that's nearly as tough as duck and significantly cooler to wear. Patagonia is not cheap. Iron Forge pants run around $100, but they're built for farm work and outdoor labor, and the hemp blend is a genuine alternative to the cotton duck orthodoxy.
For someone who's working in actual desert heat, Arizona, southern Israel, that kind of climate, what's the move?
You want the lightest fabric that still gives you the durability you need, and you want it loose. 8 ounces or less, ripstop, with a cotton nylon blend. Carhartt Force, 511 Strike, or even some of the military surplus hot weather uniforms if you don't need the pockets and styling of work pants. The other thing is color. Lighter colors reflect more heat, and that matters more than people think. A pair of khaki ripstop pants will be measurably cooler against your skin than the same pants in navy or black. We're talking 5 to 10 degrees difference at the fabric surface in direct sun.
The shopping list, if Daniel or anyone else is looking, look for fabric weight of 8 to 10 ounces, ripstop or twill weave, at least 2% spandex for mobility. Avoid 100% cotton duck above 10 ounces for hot climates, and check for double needle stitching and reinforced pockets. Specific lines: Carhartt Force, Dickies 10xQ and Flex, 5.11, Strike Duluth Firehose, Patagonia Iron Forge if you want to go the hemp route.
The Dickies 874 is still a solid budget option even in heat, as long as you're not in extreme temperatures. It's 8.5 ounces, the twill breathes decently, and at $40 you're getting 3 to 4 times the lifespan of a fashion brand pant. That's the baseline. Everything else we've talked about is an upgrade from there.
The one thing I keep coming back to is how much of this is just weave structure. We came in thinking the story was about fabric weight, and it turns out the grid pattern matters more than the ounces. That feels like the kind of thing that should be on the label.
It really should. But before we wrap up, Hilbert has been making a face over there for the last 10 minutes.
You're both wrong about the heat thing.
Go on.
Not wrong about the fabric. The fabric stuff is right. But the real hack for hot weather workwear isn't the fabric at all. It's the fit. I worked a summer in 2003 as a stagehand for a music festival that toured through Texas in August. 105 degrees, loading trucks, 12-hour days. Everyone wore Dickies 874s because they were $22 at the time, and you could destroy a pair and not care. But the trick was, you bought them two sizes too big and cinched them with a web belt. The air gap between the fabric and your skin does more for comfort than any phase change material. Carhartt duck doesn't drape the same way. It's too stiff to get that airflow. You're wearing a barrel. The Dickies twill, loose, creates a chimney effect. You move, the fabric billows, air circulates. That's worth 10 degrees.
The air gap as thermal management. That's, I talked for 10 minutes about fabric weight and weave structure, and I didn't mention fit once.
Nobody does. They want to sell you a $100 pair of pants with cooling technology. The cooling technology is 2 extra inches of fabric and a belt. The webbed belt matters too, by the way. Leather stretches when you sweat, and then your pants sag and you lose the gap. Web belt stays put.
You're saying the entire fabric technology discussion is secondary to just buying pants that are too big.
I'm saying it's half the equation. You can have the most breathable ripstop in the world, but if it's hugging your thighs, you're still hot. The fabric has to hang off you. And the heavier the fabric, the more it matters, because heavy fabric doesn't move. Duck canvas is like wearing cardboard. Twill drapes. So if you're in a hot climate and you want durability, you want a twill or a ripstop that drapes, and you want it loose. Not baggy, you're not a 90s rapper, but loose enough that you can feel air move when you walk.
That's actually testable. You could put a temperature sensor against the skin under a snug pair of pants and a loose pair of the same fabric and measure the difference.
Somebody probably has. I just know what worked. 105 degrees, black asphalt reflecting heat up at you, and the guys in tight pants were the ones sitting down after an hour. The loose pants crew worked all day. My cousin still does stagehand work. He's in Atlanta now, and he says the same thing. Although he also says the new Dickies aren't as good as the old ones, but he says that about everything. He's not a reliable source on anything except beer prices.
How long did you do the stagehand thing?
One summer. Made enough to buy a used Honda Civic with a blown speaker and drove it until the floor rusted out. The pants lasted longer than the car.
The pants outlasted the Honda. That's actually a pretty good endorsement for Dickies.
They're still in a box somewhere. The pants, not the car.
The fit point is interesting because it connects to something we didn't really get into. How garment construction interacts with fabric choice. A gusseted crotch is a construction solution to a stress problem. A loose fit is a construction solution to a heat problem. The fabric is doing one kind of work, and the way the garment is put together is doing another. And you can't fix a bad cut with good fabric.
Right. And that's where some of these brands differ, even when they're using similar materials. 511 Strike Pants have that gusseted crotch and an articulated knee. The fabric is actually cut and sewn on a curve, so it matches the shape of your leg when it's bent. That's a construction feature, not a fabric feature. Carhartt's Force Pants have a relaxed fit through the seat and thigh specifically to create that air gap Hilbert's talking about. The engineering is happening at the pattern-making level, not just the textile level.
If you take one thing from this, I think it's that the label on the fabric weight is only telling you part of the story. The weave, the fiber blend, the cut, and the seam construction are all doing as much work as the ounces per square yard. And for hot climate work, the combination that wins is ripstop or twill, loose fit, and a cotton nylon blend under 10 ounces.
The other thing is that the gap between workwear and fashion brands is real and measurable. You don't have to suffer in duck canvas to get a 3 or 4 times durability upgrade over Old Navy. Even the comfort-focused workwear lines are built to a completely different standard. The stitching alone is worth the extra $10.
The question I'm left with is where this goes next. Is the future of workwear in smart fabrics that actively cool, the phase change materials, the moisture-activated cooling, or in better basic engineering of cotton and nylon blends? The market seems to be betting on both. Carhartt and Dickies are both pushing their tech lines while still selling the classic duck and twill that built their reputations.
As more work gets pushed into extreme heat, construction, agriculture, logistics, the demand for durable but breathable is only going to grow. I think we'll see more hemp blends in the next few years. Hemp's got the tensile strength and the breathability, and the supply chain is finally maturing to the point where it's not just a premium niche. Recycled polyester blends too. There's a sustainability angle that the big brands are starting to take seriously.
This has been my weird prompts. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop for keeping us honest about the fit thing, and for the visual of a Honda Civic with a rusted out floor.
If you've got a weird prompt about the clothes you actually wear, or anything else that's been rattling around in your head, send it to prompts@myweirdprompts.com. We read everyone.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.